Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi. I'm Willie, and I'm Willie. Wade had to bail out last minute. He's going through some holiday travel. One believer and a guest. No skeptic tonight, even though, you know, believers such as myself and our guest are very skeptical. We just don't get to use that. Well, he's more skeptical than me, but I don't get to use as a believer skeptical on my resume, even though, like, I think believing comes from being skeptical. Hilton was on recently. Let's welcome our guest, good friend of the show. I've known him for a long time, worked with them. We always get caught up in too many conversations. Hilton Brown.
Hey, what's going on?
Cheers, man. Happy holidays. I know they can have a lot of ups and downs, but I hope you're having a lot of ups. Are you doing anything, any parties for New Year's?
When you say doing parties, you mean like work or just going partying?
Oh, just partying.
No, nah, I'm too old for that. I'm too boring. I'm not really that exciting anymore. Funny, yes, but just not, you know, the thought of partying down is not as appealing as it used to be when you're young, you know, especially when you work in a business like we do, where literally every day is a party. There's music, there's talent, there's singing, there's dancing, there's celebrity, there's fanfare. So it's like, I used to have to explain that to ex-girlfriends, like, no, I don't want to go out because I've been out at a club all day. So yeah,
right. You experience the whole party at work every day. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
I've never heard it explained like that, but I'm glad you did because it's the music is loud, same music all the time.
Like in a club too. It's loud. It has an impact on me that I did not know until I was able to like say, why don't I want to go and hang out like that? Like,
I have cool cats walking around. Like Jerry's walking around. Hey, what's up, Hilton? What's going on, man?
Every day, 5 days a week, every day I'm in a club. So for me, no, thank you. I'm good.
Let's see. You were on very recent. You were on within the last couple months. We talked about.
Is that recent?
Yeah. But your wow scale was a 2 last time you were on the show.
A 2.
Very skeptical. Wade's a 1. I'm a 4. I think we got to change it. So he's a 0 again. And I'm a 5. We got to readjust this thing. So I guess let's just jump right into the topic, yeah?
Yeah.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, belief. Believe it or not. What shapes our beliefs and what happens to us when those beliefs change? Those that question what happens after we die might live a different life if we definitely knew what happened after we live. And those if we saw intelligent life might change the way they live too. Questions like that. Two very creative, maybe grumpy old men. I don't know. Just a couple of guys trying to figure it out tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
I'm hella grumpy.
Right? I don't want to put that on you, but I'm like, I'm a curmudgeon. I'm creative. I'm a happy guy, but I also don't like the way a lot of things work anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, you know, I think I'm past the age where you can just, I want to indulge what could be a ridiculous way of looking at something just because someone fancies wanting to look at it this is a whole new perspective. Shut up. And I think that does qualify as being a little grumpy, right?
Yeah. Well,
like, don't tell me why an older generation is supposed to respect your generation now. Your generation, what are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you exactly. Talking here's, about? Here's the other thing, too. You can think and do whatever you want. You need to tell me about
it. No, I don't care. That's the age. That's how you know. That's the curmudgeon age. That's the curmudgeon zone right there. Is, you know, I don't want to hear it. Yeah, I'm sure it's highly important to you. I'm sure it means everything. I just probably, I'm probably going to hear you say it and ain't going to move my needle.
I've always been happy guy at work, even when I hate it, you know, even old jobs I'd always get. When I worked at Walmart for a couple of years, my nickname was Dimples just because I got employee of the month and I was like happy guy. But I've always hated management. I've always felt like I could have done it better. I've always hated my boss is telling me to do something when I know that there's something wrong with it, or I know that it's wrong, or you know what I mean?
There's just another way to do it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I've also,
why can't we just indulge that?
In the realm of the movie business, I had to get used to people telling me exactly how they wanted me to do the job, not just what needed to be done. You need to do it this way because I'm your boss. And I'm just like, fuck you, man. No, I can't handle. Tell me what you need done. Don't tell me how to do it. Go on. What were you going to say?
Tell me what you need done. And then tell me, you'll appreciate this, why you believe that. What's your belief system? What's the belief system that locks you into this modality of doing something?
That's the crux of corporations, is people feel like their position gives them the authority to know stuff, whether they're right or wrong.
Right or wrong. There is, and I think it's because there is protocol that's in place for you to follow. So it gives certain people a certain amount of autonomy. Yeah. Like, hey, if I'm just following the rules, just being a robot, well, it wasn't really my fault.
Well, that
the metric, you know, is the metric, you know, it just is this way. This is just how the company functions, and the companies function like this and will continue to function without me after I'm gone. And I don't want to lose my spot. So there's some, you know, pragmatism that's in there as well. People being pragmatic.
We recently did the topic of Gary, the hacker, Gary McKinnon, and he was hacking into all these government computers, NASA computers, defense computers. And he would just, basically, he was only running into them if their password was password or if they didn't have a password. He figured out a program how to get into those computers. And he said that one of the funniest things I've heard in a long time, which was the reason why the security was so bad, is because they're not hiring IT professionals to do security. It's a ranking order. This is the government. So you move up, you get that job, whether you know about it or not.
Right.
I was like, that's a perfect microcosm of just how stupid our system is.
Definitely. How flawed it is. Yeah. How vulnerable it is.
You know, tonight we're talking about belief. It's not belief tied to religion. It's just kind of belief versus, I don't want to say versus science either. Cause I believe science but I feel like we in America have become stagnant to change. And so even when science changes, we have a hard time being like, no, hold on. You sure about that? Pluto's a planet. I don't care what your new definition is. I just know Pluto's a planet. So we like hold on to shit that doesn't matter. Like science is trying to change and we're just not having it. So that's what I'm getting into, is in the realm of like, it's not belief versus science, but I think belief can go farther. Let me back up and say this. When I thought about this topic for Hilton, and me together, we've just have both gone through belief systems that have changed.
Yeah.
And you've also gone through the military in a hard way. And that basically gives you a whole belief set there, because you are living to live in that at that point.
Yeah. You don't have a lot of choice in a particular situation, because again, you know, you have the safety of your following orders. So like if you tie a belief system, like we believe we're doing the right thing in the name of justice and serving the people, here's the structure. So you have, or we could call them like a good equivalent of that would be like a company and their core values that they distribute to their employees.
Yeah.
Where they say, hey, these are the five pillars of our engagement with each other and to the external world that our business appeals to. I think that there are, I said that to say this, is that I think that there are belief systems that are at the core of the surrounding tissue of companies, of organizations, of groups, of even all the way down to something like self-help groups, Alcoholics Anonymous, right?
Uh-huh.
Like there's an event or something happening that draws all these people together in this one space. One could say that all of these people needed a job at Walmart, right? That was the thing that drew them all together. What types of job they have could have something to do with their qualifications. There are all of these factors that bring like-minded people into a particular space at a particular time. Like for whatever reasons, however we get there, we're all in that same space at the same time. But the way that you're allowed to move within those spaces, that's where the company leaders are enforcing a belief system. Like within a within a television show, when somebody says the wrong thing, now everybody has to have sensitivity training to rein everybody in and say, hey, we're all on the same page that, or this behavior would violate our belief system.
Over the holidays, be like, oh, this is our Christmas tree, non-religious, just it's a Christmas tree, but, and I don't know how Christmas really got tied up to
a tree. I mean, don't get me started on that, because it's, you know, there's a whole lot of there's a whole lot of misinformation that's out there as far as practices that we allow ourselves to go through. And I'm trying to walk delicately here so it's not to offend anyone.
Yeah, and I'm jumping on board with you.
Which I don't think you should have to. But I think that, you know, I'll say this. Rather than question the practice, I am curious as to why we feel it necessary to create fantasy when we actually have the ability to create change.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
And and what's tied to that fantasy is a means for companies to profit.
Yeah.
To make money off of these people that are convinced that this thing is real.
I'm like, Santa was really started when he was not around before profit, you know?
No.
Stories that they got from Santa, there might have been a guy that would cross the mountain to give presents and stuff like that. But, you know, Santa, I think the first one was maybe for Coke. We talked about this before, but it's just like, you know, there was that story, 'twas the night before Christmas, whatever, and then they created the Santa thing. And now you can't imagine a world without Santa. And I'm like, it's pretty recent. Before I say anything more, because I always start accidentally ripping on religion, I'm like, listen, I love that people want to find their spirituality. I don't believe any religious organization really has their people's spirituality in their mind when they are a religion. That's my thing.
Right.
Everybody wants to be a good person. And that's always the argument for so many people. And I'm like, listen, people want to be good. And there's people that want to be good everywhere. But this company that's taking all your money and like, been around for hundreds of years.
They're not doing it to create the joy of Christmas.
Yeah.
They're not doing it to make you like they don't care. If I'm a toy company and I really care about providing joy and giving things to children that don't have and people that need, I could donate stuff every year to all of these people in all of these different parts of the world and all and everywhere and have a tax write-off. Right?
Yeah.
And actually do some good. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to jack up prices or drop prices so I can offload the end of the year stuff and then bring in next year's stuff. I got to make room for the next round of stuff that I'm going to sell you in the next fantasy lottery that's coming up in the calendar year. Oh, yeah. Remember Jesus that we just celebrate the birth of Jesus? Now come the first, we're going to celebrate baby Jesus. The new year baby. What the fuck, man? What, like, then there's the Easter bunny.
Easter bunny. That was always
the Easter bunny. The Easter bunny. A big fucking rabbit running around laying eggs. Eggs.
And then Easter. And then to be so against Halloween. They're the same thing.
But the Day of the Dead, at least you can respect the Day of the Dead. It has a literal meaning.
Yeah,
it's tied to a particular culture and that set of beliefs. It's almost like a religious rite of passage. It makes actual sense. The story of Ichabod Crane, okay? The story of Halloween, it's a fable. It's a made-up story. Any of these holidays, you know what they all share is commercialization, capital, you know, being able to get people to purchase products. That's what it's about. It's just bizarre because, you know, you tell somebody that you are changing your position on something that they believe in so vehemently, and it is a trip how those people are almost panicked with your choice. Like when I told my family that I'm no longer celebrating Christmas, but I'm celebrating Kwanzaa instead, you know, every year, instead of Christmas. My family, it's a trip just to watch the gymnastics that they went through of like, well, why? Well, what's wrong with Christmas? Well, why would you? Well, why aren't you doing Christmas? You should do Christmas. Everybody should have Christmas. Why? Do you believe in Santa Claus? Do you believe in, you know, the well, no, we don't, but that's not what it's about. Okay, so what is it about? It's about acknowledging the birth of Jesus Christ. Is that what it is? But what if you're not Christian? What if people aren't that? I'm just asking questions, right? It's okay. It's safe to ask questions, right? Or no, they get scared because I'm questioning what your belief is in this thing. And where does that come from? Like, is this something that you were taught that was passed down from generation to generation? Is there an actual spiritual religious basis? Is there a historical reference to these things? Because if not, we're spending a lot of time selling a lot of shit and leaving a lot of people swinging in the wind, homeless, without food, without clothing, without education access, without access to healthcare. We got a lot of other shit that we could fix instead of fucking around, acting like these days are real. I had a thought too. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I love that. It's depressingly winter.
While I'm on that soapbox, I had a quick thought, and I'm very curious to see what you think about this. I heard this morning that today was one of the busier days as all of these people are returning back into town from being out of town with family and whatnot. And it's not the busiest day yet, but at LAX, there were something like 44,000 flights that were happening in the U.S. today. 44,000 flights. 1,000.
Wow.
On one day, 44,000 planes, jets in the air, burning fuel in the atmosphere because people are traveling back and forth to spend time with their loved ones who most of the times they don't want to spend time with. Because going back home, it's a difficult thing because it's not there are no Hallmark families. Okay, that shit just does not exist. It's the idea that there's a Hallmark family. Hallmark, like the company who sells you cards and fantasies and dreams and shit as a way of life. That is what is the impetus that gets all of these people to get on planes and travel. What is our ecological footprint on this day when all of these jets are burning all this fuel in the atmosphere?
Yeah. And it's funny because these big travel days, you'd feel like that would be a big moment of, you know, if you really want to make a difference, you know, it's not like don't convince me to get an electric car. Like let's look at these travel days. Like,
come on. Cause all of those people that are flying, right? All those 44,000 flights that have so many bodies on them, right? When all of those hundreds of bodies land at their destination, there are going to be cars there also driving on the road.
I watched this guy recently who went to this, one of these big like Davos conventions every year, whatever, where like all these millionaires get together, billionaires, and talk about the future of and trying to make it better. And this guy was just like calling it out, being like, how are we talking about being green when you all took a private jet here? Like, this is like, not. Come on. We're having a meeting about being green and we're all being black. I mean, why? What's the one? I'm sorry.
Oh, I see what you're saying, brother.
No. I'm like, what? Yeah. What's?
Oh.
I was thinking of exhaust, and I'm like, it's not.
Yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. It's we're the biggest. Essentially, we're the biggest defenders, and we do it in concentrated days or in concentrated cycles. And one of the biggest ways that we could see our real footprint, I'll never forget. And I'm sure you remember, 2 weeks after everybody was locked down and nobody could travel, no planes could fly, you looked at the sky.
Yeah.
And the sky was clear. And weather patterns have changed like on a cyclical level since COVID, because it was like what I think it was like the earth belched and took a deep breath when everybody stopped.
Yeah, we took the cycle of breath away by suffocating it every day.
Yeah, and so it had a reboot. The earth has taken a big time belch and a breath. It's like, all right, and now it's kickstarting again. When we talk about beliefs, we're so bent on believing in certain things that don't really serve us. But at the same time, we'll say we believe in loving each other, helping each other, doing right by another person, but we don't hold their feet to the fire, the ones that we could force to actually help with change. Like the ones that could actually make a real difference with
it used to be you could tell someone's character by what they did. Well, what the fuck are companies doing? Because companies have a bigger voice than any people anymore. You know, like,
oh, absolutely. They have the power to make change. The people don't have power to make changes. The people don't have the power to say, you guys stop putting your orange juice in plastic containers. What we want you to do is come out with vending machines that will do fresh squeeze orange juice into your containers.
Yeah, totally. I was just thinking, I even talked about this in the bonus episode where I was just like, there used to be a system to get stuff without having to use a plastic bottle, you know?
Yeah.
Even glass bottles were great because they would recycle those. They would reuse them. They don't do that anymore. Yeah. In other countries they do. You get water in Germany, all the bottles go back.
Oh yeah. All of them, as it should. But then we get into, we're right back to that same question. What do we, I think the question is, what do we really believe in? You just hit it right on the head. You used to be able to tell who was who based on their conduct, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
their character was always what you did, not what you said.
If there's someone outside of the planet watching our behavior, what do they say our belief system is as it pertains to taking care of the planet? They would say that collectively, we don't give a shit about this planet.
100%. You can't even get a voice from someone because as a collective, we are just creating waste. We're just creating waste. If you are alive today, I guarantee you there's nothing that you believe in that was not figured out by a company. Like religion is the biggest company, and all these companies, and I don't know. I don't mean to be so cynical, but I'm just like,
when you say that, I'm thinking like religion is a business.
Yeah, 100%. And I don't know. I would be very comfortable if we taxed religions at this point. Yeah.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. They do move like companies. They do have investment strategies. They do have board of directors. They have all of the same trappings as a regular company. The only difference is that they're not taxed on it. And a pastor of a mega church who's making, you know, $2.5 million a year to pastor a church, you know, that's tax-free dollars. All those people that put that money into the church, they don't get to write that church money off. That money was taxed. Those people went to work for that money. You know, they actually paid taxes on that money. So if you went to a ball game every weekend, and because somebody said a prayer at the beginning of it, should that be considered a religious gathering?
Ooh, I'm in.
And if it is, hey, that sounds like a great investment strategy. I'll become a ball booster just so I can get people to pay me to show up to games. And I don't have to worry about paying taxes on it because, hey, I'm a religious organization.
And we can go on religion for days, and here's where my mind goes when in my daily life. I have a 6-year-old, you know, and I'm like, what is healthy food for him? What I have been taught is not the answer, and everything that I've been taught is not even close to the answer. Eat cereal in the morning, take the egg whites out, or take the egg yellows out, but the egg whites are still good. Just like all that shit is just like,
yeah.
There aren't too many countries in the world that have different food for breakfast, you know?
Yes. Yeah. I was just telling this to a friend of mine. I was saying, like, you know, when people think about wealth and you think about like old money, like oil money, right? There was a time where having bread was like a luxury in this country on American soil. Kitchens weren't equipped with flour, baking soda, heat you could turn on. So if you only grew potatoes on your land, you had potatoes. You didn't have milk.
Going forward into the future, what is healthy? What's fucking healthy?
Yeah. And
in the realm of what I believe to be healthy for me, right? Like I've been looking into stuff, and there's certain things that I want to take, you know, like cordyceps mushrooms and ashwagandha, and even matcha, you know, like I quit drinking coffee. So like I'll have a little matcha. It's a little less on the caffeine side, but there's this shot that I've been taking, and I don't fucking endorse too many things, but this thing, it's called Magic Mind. It's a little shot that I take every day. I've been taking it for a couple weeks now. I'm tired every day from not getting enough sleep. Well, now I feel normal. And also because I've been taking this, I think for a couple weeks, like I feel like I'm more focused when I'm teaching Moose because I'm homeschooling him. And then also like, I just have a lot of things to do. I'm researching this for this podcast, trying to book all this shit and whatnot. And I'm just saying like, I believe in this Magic Mind stuff. You can find it at Sprouts. It comes out in January.
If can you put it right up to the screen?
There we go. Magic Mind.
Oh, look at that. This January, if you want to get your focus up and get some stuff done in 2024 and be fully focused, you can get 1 month for free if you subscribe for 3 months at magicmind.com/JANRLSF. January Real Life Sci-Fi. And with my code RLSF20, it's an extra 20% off, which gets you 75% off. This only lasts for the end of the month, so hurry up before it goes away.
You know, Bill Gates has these apples now that they coat with stuff so they can last longer on the shelf.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm afraid of that. I don't mean to be afraid of that, yeah. But I am.
Yeah.
Like, and he bought up the apple cider vinegar company that we all use because it's a good way to get apple cider vinegar, which is really fucking good for you. And they're going to start using those apples and that fucking shit. I'm like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah, man.
I don't know. Our health has been bought out.
Everything about our living as a community and as a society, I think that's what we have been sold on more than anything else, is the community idea. If we're in a community, we're stronger together because we can help each other and benefit. That was for that particular time. Half of people don't even know who their neighbors are now.
I always try to meet my neighbors. I grew up with that. And some people I say hi to, they will never say hi back to me.
They'll never say hi back to you. Like, you don't know them. So the idea of the community being stronger because we are in touch with each other, that's not a reality for most people anymore.
Yeah, I chased off somebody stealing packages the other day in our apartment complex.
Right.
And he got away with a couple. I'm not going to fight him to get other people's packages back.
Yeah.
But I'm like, get out of here. I don't want to yell at someone that then knows where I live that can come back.
Yeah, pragmatic. I don't want to get robbed because somebody's pissed because I said stop.
Yeah.
For real. Like this.
So I said stuff and we didn't see each other's faces, and I'm cool with that.
I'm cool with that. Hey, I tried. I did what I could. But I'm not gonna be like, hey man, give me, you know, nah, bro. Nah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people are now stabbing and shooting each other and shit. Like, this is the 70s again, late 70s, New York.
Whatever my standing is, I still will always feel close to being homeless because I don't really have savings. I don't, just the situation that I've been in, I've always been like, I'm so close to.
But you are like most, but you're like most people. Most people, and this is something that we forget because we are caught up in these fantasies that they constantly sell us so that we're not paying attention to the truth. The truth is most of the people are like you. We all are familiar with this term living check to check, but that's not what is pushed during the fantasy time and during the rest of the year by these companies.
Yeah.
You know, they're selling you an image, a belief. And they're saying that, hey, if you drink this cola, it'll make you feel so fantastic. It's just fucking soda. Hey, if you drink this soda, it'll give you diabetes. You know, hey.
Not right away. And there's
not right away. We can't, and they can't tie it to us yet. They will actually, you know, create counter ads to, I mean, it would be a thing. Like, there's no mining the store. When we talk about beliefs, that's what I think the collective belief is that we buy into what fits our pragmatic idea of what we're looking for. If it's going to cost me something to get to think more about it, I'll stop right here. I'm comfortable saying this much. I don't know if I want to go out on a limb and you know, demand that the stores now put a orange juice machine in and get rid of all the plastic. So I'm going to be out there, a one man, you know, strike force out there, because then I look crazy and then I lose my job.
Yeah. All they got to do is cater to the way that it used to be. You know, people don't realize that a plastic bottle really only maybe cost pennies, if not less than a penny. That plastic press is nothing.
Nothing. But it only serves the purpose of keeping the profit margin higher.
Yeah.
That's
now
all.
You got a now you get a little drink. You know what? 8 ounces, that's what you need.
I think I shared with you before. I believe that what we need to be doing is every manufacturer of everything, if you are a Land Rover Discovery owner and your vehicle is about to go to the junkyard, Land Rover should have a number where they can be called and they will have somebody come and pick it up, break a vehicle down, send all of the critical materials back to them. And then you do that with any and every product, any and every product. Every manufacturer of those products will be responsible for disposing of them.
That's brilliant.
I bet you these motherfuckers would bring back orange juice machines. And they're going to start selling you little orange juice bottles that have their names on them. Tropicana. Yeah. I don't give a fuck. I just want some fucking orange juice that's fresh squeezed orange juice. I don't give a fuck how you do it. And I don't want to have the, I don't want to feel like I'm the bad person. So I need to sort through my plastics, through my compost, my paper.
Yeah, man.
Always put it on us. Always. And we're not the ones that are fucking pressing the plastic, you dumbasses.
Even the plastic. Think about water. They have tricked us into thinking that we're wasting water taking long showers. And I'm like, the water that corporations use is just so much more. And we're not,
almond water
regulations. Yeah.
You know how much water it takes? You know how much water it takes to tell them how much water it takes to grow an almond.
We haven't, as a society, regrouped to be like, okay, what's working for us? What's going to take us into the future? We have just gone down this railroad locomotion frenzy since the 50s. Everything's been just consumerism at its best. Hey, you know what?
Yep.
You want to make some money? You rip some people off? That's too bad. But you know what? Make your money.
That's the belief system. So that's the belief. And so now you have to look and say, okay, so everything else functions around that belief system. Like, that's what is the core of activity. So, by the way, here's a drum roll. 3.2 gallons to make one almond. That was just the surface level look. 3.2 gallons. Oh, by the way, hey, Willie, do you have any almonds that you're growing in your backyard?
No, why?
I don't have any growing in my yard either. I wonder where all of these almonds are coming from. And who's farming all of these almonds? Do you think that it's a small almond farming family doing this in the Midwest? Or do you think it's a big fucking company?
Right.
It doesn't give a shit how much water it's wasting.
I always picture I fucking hate Dr. Phil, but Dr. Phil's logo behind them looks just like that blue diamond nut logo. It's exactly the same, brown and blue with the diamond. I always think of Dr. Phil when I think of nuts.
We believe in mental health. That's the talking point.
Yeah.
America says that it believes in mental health, but what do we do about it?
I mean, I can't answer this without like trying to be silly, you know, just that like, hey, everything's good. That's mental health in America. Everything's good. If it's not good, don't let anybody know. But also though, we don't have a relationship with ourselves, with mental health. We aren't taught to try to bring things to light that we may need to work on. You know, there's nobody out there saying, be a better person. Being a better person comes from, sure, there's old school religious institutions, but they tricked you into thinking that they're responsible for you being a good person. That's not the case.
Yeah, they use their influence to manipulate you to do something. You know, like they used it for a reason. They not necessarily weaponized it, but it's been turned into a method to get you to do something.
And you know, the call like, to action tied. Is to recruit.
Yeah. But if somebody, again, is if there's an alien or somebody moving outside of our atmosphere and they say, hey, based on what we see them doing, how do they really feel about mental health? Like back in the day, if they thought you were crazy, right, they would medicate you, lock you up in an asylum, and you're gone.
And they were really allowed to just figure out whatever they wanted.
Oh, yeah. They were allowed to do it, too. They were like given – some organization said, hey, you guys go ahead and try to figure this out. What are your pedigrees? Let's make sure that we have the right people on staff, on paper, so that we can say, hey, we're trying. We have our experts working on this. They're coming up with a plan that's going to work for everybody, and this is going to be great. The mental health conversation is so prevalent now after we had the generation of giving of pills, yeah. You know, like I'll call it the pill rush. After the pill rush generation, you know, after years of a generation that was given pills abusively.
I wouldn't even call it pills. I'd just call it science. They figured out how to fix your mental health.
And right. But they did it with pills though.
I know. I'm laughing going like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But that was a collective belief system.
We've all just gotten addicted to the things that we encounter while we're living. Whatever that is, I like toys nostalgically because they ripped me off when I was a kid, and I remember getting ripped off as a kid.
Gotcha.
But when it comes down to me trying to raise a kid in this realm, you know, like he has more toys than I ever had, even though I still have more toys than now, there isn't a belief base of this is how. Because, you know, sure, there's a good person. I think the base is the good person. Be a good person. But ultimately, you get to a point where it's just like, well, don't do that because it's annoying. You can be a good person, but also don't be annoying. Because if you're annoying, you're not going to make friends.
Right. There's some reality that you need to know that comes along with being annoying. You need to be made aware that there is something that comes with that. And you might not like that thing.
Yeah, and I don't know where I'm going with that. It's just weird trying to navigate what I believe is real, but also not push everything I believe onto him. Like, we have conversations all the time. He doesn't believe in Bigfoot, and that's fine. He didn't have to.
Because he never saw, in his conscious mind, he never had that subconscious connective tissue because he didn't see it, and it wasn't this mysterious thing to him as a child. We did. We had... like the Bigfoot sightings, it was a thing back in the day, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's not in the news anymore. There's no, I don't know who watches the news, but
it's not presented to him in his pipeline of information because there are so many other avenues of interest that he's allowed to explore, just given how technology has moved on that we were not privy to. We didn't have it like that.
Paralleling animals that know how to do everything when they're born different, you know, their brains don't grow as much as ours, whatever. I've always thought that there would be at some point, some kind of just information, not a shot, you know, but just an information overload that you could like present to a growing brain. And I'm glad that that doesn't exist now because how could you not have biases in information?
You mean like CPH-40 from the movie Lucy, Scarlett Johansson?
I haven't seen that yet, but
oh yeah, probably. She basically ingests this according to this drug that's going to be manufactured and distributed to people. Apparently, it packs for a developing infant. It packs the punch of the universe. It has the power of the universe, and now she's ingesting this into her stomach because some drug lords are smuggling it in her body across to Paris. That's the without giving away too much. So CPH-40, yes.
Realm of being connected to this is my problem with society right now, and I don't mean to.
No, go ahead.
Get please. Too deep and dark in it, but here we are. Being very connected to the whole world. We are more alone than we've ever been.
Absolutely.
And I know that the exchange of information definitely comes with a lot of dogma and all kinds of other shit. We're just not training people to listen to other things right now. And I, it's easy for me to say that, but
maybe that shot, instead of it being like a shot, that gives someone a higher level of intellect early on, like the way that a horse can walk an hour after it's born, right?
Yeah.
It can walk and it's up and running within 2 hours. Instead of there being this shot, what the shot actually is technology. And now everyone is racing to become hyper-intelligent. The only difference is that now what our narrative mind and narrative perspective, what we're looking for is stuff that will complement or co-sign with our narrative. So, and we can find that out there amongst everything that's out there and available information-wise due to the technology. If I'm only looking for something that's going to speak back to me and confirm what I'm already thinking, I can find that. So now, is it that I'm not listening or looking for more, or because of where I am in the intelligence spectrum, I'm looking for what I want to get back from this echo chamber. And so people now have the ability to seek what and find whatever they want to find, and it will support their narrative. But what they aren't told, they're not taught empathy. We can't teach them to have, to be empathetic towards another person or to have sympathy for them.
I love that you said that, because what I was just writing down was that, like, well, in the realm of AI and technology and connecting to brains as we're going towards, can't teach character, can't help you deal with emotions. Mental health is not a part of that. And empathy
can't teach
isn't
rejection.
Either.
Can't teach you rejection. Like, you know what it's like as a man to be rejected and to have to soak in that and deal with it and suck it up and develop character. And now you have generations that don't want to be hurt. They don't want to take the L.
Yeah.
So what is the basis for them learning to trust themselves? Learning to understand that, hey, maybe this breakup was something that needed to happen for this reason. It wasn't something about you being messed up or them being messed up. So you don't have to shade your perspective to make you more comfortable. Sometimes you can just accept that you just got to take a L, because that's what it was for us. And we turned out okay. And we are able to deal with harsh situations that life throws at us. A generation that is more sensitive and that can't handle that shit, you're going for a rude awakening in the real world.
And the real awakening might come at a time when you can't recover from it. That's the hard part.
Yeah. If you got an OnlyFans page now, and you got your body up there for sale online, that will be available information for 50 years, like it or not.
And I hate to say it, you probably didn't make enough money for that reality.
Yeah.
I don't like any big company out there right now, because no matter what they're doing, they're only perpetuating their success. And it has nothing to do with connecting people. It's all a big facade of when the news stations started talking about tweets, I was like, you guys are all in it together. You're reading a tweet as if it's something worth mentioning as a news reference. Some people say somebody on Twitter said this. And I'm like, well, there's somebody on Twitter that says every single troll thing that you need to write your story. So fuck off.
Right. It's not real. It's no belief system for you to put your faith in.
What is belief and how does it differ from knowledge? And that's a hard one, especially in the science community, because so much stuff changes and you can't say that some of the old science knowledge was knowledge. It was knowledge of the time.
I have an idea that knowledge would be confirmed belief, or like evidence of a belief confirmed.
Ooh, I like that. Knowing, you know what I mean? Knowledge could change. That's the exception right now.
Sure.
There's evidence.
But there's been something, there's been like a theory, an idea, a belief. And then there was actually something that was proven about that belief. Hey, this water is wet. I believe this water is wet. You know what? Yeah, that's wet. So now there's knowledge that stuff that looks like that with that consistency flowing down this river, that there is knowledge that that is water. It started out with the belief of like, hey, is this water or urine?
I love your example and it's perfect. My problem with a lot of knowledge in that realm, and I'm just talking about specifically corporations trying to pull the wool over our eyes for their information that they're researching. It's just kind of like I'm on the fence about water right now. Water's fucking bullshit. You can't put fluoride and bleach in it and have it sit underground, not moving, and have it have the minerals that we need for it to be water.
We need biology, microbiology doing its thing in our water stream.
And our biggest problem right now is that most of our knowledge is made by these companies that can afford to do research for their shit. So this is this weird thing of today where like everything must be good for you because these companies are testing everything over and over and over. It must be good for you. A couple years later, oh, did you use this stuff? Well, it wasn't good for you. Oh, did you use this stuff? Hey, it wasn't good for you.
Yeah. Hey, there's a class action lawsuit that you can be a part of now. You just call the Barnes and Noble firms.
Yeah.
You know, and get in on this class action lawsuit. If you took the talcum powder from the Johnson & Johnson family in 1968, from 1958 to 1972, if you use Johnson & Johnson products and your child, that's what really happens. Like the studies are done and funded by these companies to their benefit. They're searching for a means of eliminating themselves from liability rather than saying, oh shit, we're creating this problem. Water runoff to the next chemical factory.
Make something else. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be so negative about it, but I'm just like, these are things that we need to address to fix the way this shit is running right now. Because I love what you're saying. I always think about that like, what is an intelligent being watching us? What do they think of us? And it's great because when you think in that realm, there aren't too many things that you can do and say that make a difference in their view of what humans are.
Yeah, there really aren't. But the people have, but at the same time, we actually do have the power to make effective changes. Let's take a pine saw manufacturer. You're not getting pine extract from trees to get the scent.
Yeah. And then not even for the scent, right?
Not even for the scent. What's your ecological footprint? Pine Sol, who's been around for how long? You're the number one what for how long and how many households for how long again? Yeah, you've been making a lot of money. And nobody ever says shit about it. Your footprint must be clean. Has to be, right? But is it? Is it really? What about the people that are making like bleach, like Clorox? What's the runoff proportionality to like what's the, how does that impact the surrounding communities? Or the companies that have all of these phone and power towers, you know, across these residential areas. What's the real footprint there? Over the last 15 to 20 years, if you've lived in that time frame and you were like an adult of an adult age in that entire time, you've actually seen the American belief system shift before your very eyes. You've seen certain fundamental shifts in how people believe. People really believe now that going to college may not be the best thing for you. People actually believe now that I have a much better chance of being a social media person and becoming wealthy. Like I could do that to make the money that I want to make.
I feel like that's why there's so much debt forgiveness now, because they're trying to be like, oh, it's not so bad. Like, you know what?
Bring them back in.
They're giving people debt forgiveness. You can come here and then figure it out later.
But there's actually money. These things are industries now that are monetizable. It's like the new hip hop. People started out in the beginning. Anything new that comes out, everybody says, oh, it's not going to last. It's going to be a trend. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's because you haven't figured it out yet. By the time you do, you know, hey, if everybody can get it for free, it moves so fast now that by the time you can build your infrastructure to compete, the people already have a hand in it and you can't sell it to them now. Like YouTube, you can't sell YouTube to people now. You can sell it to the advertisers that are looking for eyeballs. Yeah, YouTube has gotten is very smart for doing that. Don't worry about taking money out of Will's pocket, out of Hilton's pocket. No, we're going to sell your content based on the number of views that you get. We're going to sell that to our business advertisers that want these same eyeballs from the same demographic that you guys are appealing to.
Yeah.
And people understand, see, they believe that because there's actually knowledge, you know, the difference between faith and knowledge, right? Or belief and knowledge, right? Is that, you know, knowledge is that, you know, that belief confirmed. It is true that people can fucking open up an OnlyFans page now and sell their feet, you know, pictures of their feet to people and make millions of dollars from feet. Is it a fetish? Yep, sure is. Oh, well. But the knowledge is that, yes, it is possible to do that. And it's a lot easier to lotion your feet every day than it is to, you know, walk over hot coals in a business world.
Right. And so, even in that same vein, like, you know what, selling your, you know, there's different levels of what's good and bad in all realms. And I'm like, you know, I'm friends with people in the adult industry and I'm just like, oh, for some people it's different to just be like, hey, it's just my feet. I don't need to do anything else. And for some people it's like, well, I'm just doing this and that's it. And levels for everybody. But in the end, no matter what, I'm not being judgmental. I'm just like, no matter what I think, they're all doing better than me. Like, whether it's your feet or everything.
Everything. I can't deny the knowledge that your belief that this works. Yes, it does work. You're fucking making money off of it. And you're making money not breaking boulders. You are actually in control of your own brand.
In that realm, I'm happy for the OnlyFans type of things.
I get it. It
gave them a bigger power than just being treated like crap on. Not that everyone's treated like crap, but I'm just like, I've heard stories.
They have the control over their content, over their engagement, over the level of exposure that they have to some degree. And I get it. But we're talking about people who, you know, they've exchanged. If the American idea was that you were going to be a parent on the PTA board, you're exchanging that belief for being the MILF of the Month Club. You know, now, because of the grand exposure, you might get canceled on a PTA if they find out that you're doing adult movies.
Right, right. And it's
And that's because their beliefs is that while your child is a great child in this school and your child is very well-mannered, the exposure factor of a kid somehow being exposed to seeing your body naked involved in some kind of sexual act, there's a possibility that it could happen. And we, the school, will then, like, we don't want to be responsible for that. Like, we're promoting that, and we know this about you. Hey, how did you guys find out about it? Oh, the principal was watching one of your pornos. What?
Yeah.
In the privacy of their own home.
Everyone's Googling everyone, and then if you get Googled and you have something else, it might affect your job.
Meanwhile, this teacher has an OnlyFans page with her feet on it, with his feet on it. He's just got very feminine feet. So, you know, that's it. In fact, that's what he calls himself, feminine feet.
Well, let's wrap this up. What do you have any closing ideas on just everything we've talked about, but, you know, in the realm of belief in general, like, what, you got any closing ideas?
I think the best thing I already said that for me, and I'm going to process it a little bit more, is that, and I want to express that I appreciate helping me to clarify the difference, you know, between belief and knowledge and what that line is between them. People believe one thing, or how someone can believe one thing, but they can know something else. And knowing is what I think is the actionable emotion over belief, out of belief and knowledge and knowing. I think knowing is what makes people act out. If I know that if I swim for the edge of the pool, I can get out. But if I'm drowning and I don't believe that if I swim there, I'm not going to try. But if I know that if I know I can swim over there, I'm going to do it. The belief won't push you. It's the knowledge that, or the belief in your knowledge.
I always look at humans from the standpoint of, what do aliens see us as? And that's why we're not going to have an alien savior, an intelligent life savior. But we're smart enough to save ourselves. And why aren't we? It's because we're locked into all these different beliefs that are, I don't want to say they're tricking us. I don't want to say it's magic to us.
They are.
We don't know what being human is. That's the funniest thing that I always, when people say, what are aliens doing here? I'm like, what are we doing here? You don't have an answer and you expect them to have one. You're here and you don't know what the fuck you're doing.
How about this? What if they just stepped off the planet for like a couple thousand years to go on a fucking voyage through the galaxy? And when they came back home, we had fucking set up camp. We had colonized the planet. Like, they're like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
Like, dude, what are you doing in my yard?
It's crazy. There aren't too many things good that we're doing. And here's the thing. Everybody wants to be good. All of us people that aren't a part of the power, we all want to be good.
We all want to be good, but the power is the one that corrupts everything. Just like, people actually believe in the political system. Like, they have faith in our politicians.
I have a hard time.
It's ridiculous.
The politicians that I believe in, they're either very close to getting like kicked out or they're just good at lying to me. I feel like we have got a long ways to go and we can't let too much belief get in the way of our knowledge. So we need to regroup. We need to regroup as humanity.
Yeah. Imagine if we applied that principle. And this is and I'll leave you on this note, because I know maybe somebody will have a comment or a question for it. What if our society said, hey, I know you believe this about yourself, but we want to know how you know. Show us how you know. You believe this. Apply that across the board to anything. I, Hilton, believe I'm a frog. You would say to me logically, hey, prove to me that you're a frog, Hilton. How do you know you're a frog? Would you not ask me that question, right?
Yeah,
I would have to say, this is how I know I'm a frog. And this is why, because I know that I'm a frog, you see me hopping around from lily pad to lily pad, this motherfucker. So I'm not crazy. I'm just really a frog doing what frogs do. Because the knowledge, it is my knowledge, not my belief, but my knowledge that makes me realize who and what I am. So I'm acting in this way because I have knowledge about who I am, not just a belief. You know, I believe I'm black. You know, how do I know? Because America reminds me that I'm black every day.
Right.
That's one way. There are other, and that's one way to look at it. There's so many other layers to how I know I'm black.
Well,
you know, how do we know? Everybody has to push everything through that lens, you know, like we push our government through that lens.
We need to find new checks and balances. We need to push our shit through that.
We have to, bro.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining me on the show. You got anything you want to plug or push out?
Happy Kwanzaa.
Word. Thank you for hanging out with us. You know, we're going to continue the conversation. I don't know what we're going to get into, but thanks for hanging with us. You can find everything at reallifesci-fi.show. And just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you.
Real life sci-fi.